In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. So every summer, the day school has their summer program, and it's made up of all kinds of activities, field trips, different things that they have in line for the day school kids to participate in. And every year, they go to one of my favorite places. So I join them. They go to the Houston Zoo. I love going to the zoo. Always have. Love going to look at the animals, checking it all out. And what more fun could you have than going with a bunch of little kids? So I've gone a couple of times with them already the last few summers. But there's one particular story that I think is noteworthy for today's lessons. You see, I was one of the only men at that field trip one year. So when it came time for a potty break, you know, those of us who do our road trips, we have to make more of those along the way these days. Well, the same thing goes for little ones. You got to make sure they take care of their business from time to time. So during one of those little breaks, I was being one of the only guys. I had to go and open up the boys' bathroom, open it up and let the kids in. And of course, to my absolute astonishing surprise, the first three boys that came into the bathroom, ran in, stuck both hands on the edge of the urinal, and looked in. And I was mortified, absolutely mortified. So they finished their business. I said, stop doing that. They finished their business. I immediately took them over to the sink, made them wash with soap and water thoroughly, dried their hands, and then I found that when we went out of the bathroom, there was another teacher with a big bottle of Purell, and the kids, of course, said, well, we already washed our hands. I said, no, do that again. Do the Purell. Of course, the other teachers had no idea what had just happened. So you think you'd have to be on guard to make sure kids do what they need to do rather than stop them from doing things that you're not expecting. All of us were probably raised by someone who taught us to wash our hands before we eat, especially if your hands have touched something that might be a little unsanitary. We certainly would wash our hands before we eat. So in today's gospel, it shouldn't come to a surprise that one of the traditions of the Jews was to thoroughly wash their hands before they ate. Sounds reasonable, right? I mean, sounds absolutely normal. You'd want to wash up before you eat. Well, in this episode of today's gospel from Mark, I'm not sure this was something that this was a new practice that the disciples were doing, but apparently there was an instance where the Jewish authorities, the Pharisees, saw Jesus' disciples eating before they had washed their hands. And he called Jesus out on this. Jesus responds rather harshly, as he does from time to time. He calls the Pharisees hypocrites. Now, the Pharisees, I've taught before, are not a bad group of folks. The Pharisees are sort of like the bishops of the church. They knew what they knew what the rules were. They knew what the rubrics were. They knew what the traditions were. And just like bishops in the church today, they hold us accountable to make sure those traditions are intact, that we don't go and do things that are against the tradition. Obviously, there's a lot of fluid and a lot of flexibility in our traditions, but for the most part, we should be doing some certain things, and the religious authorities then and even now are tasked with making sure that we abide by those traditions for the most part. But Jesus here, whose authority is already established in this gospel as the anointed one, as the Son of God, as a teacher, as a mindful one of Israel and its teachings, has something kind of harsh to say to those Pharisees. Because you see, I think where Jesus is coming from is where we put the importance of our traditions. Do they become more important than the actual people they serve? What are the traditions in place for to begin with? A few weeks ago, if you were here at church, during my sermon, I took off all my robes and hung them over this bar here in front of Kina. And thank you for taking care of them. And just to make the point that We have a lot of symbols in our midst as Episcopalians. We have a lot of symbols, and those symbols have a purpose. They are to point us in the direction of the divine. We should see things, and they remind us, or they bring us into the reality of God in our midst. They are themselves, obviously, not divine, but they are images and symbols to point us towards the divine. And that's what the traditions are supposed to do. But I think Jesus was addressing an issue here, where the traditions started taking the front row rather than the actual job that the traditions were supposed to do. There's a story that I learned recently about our 12th president, the 12th president of the United States, Zachary Taylor. Zachary Taylor almost did not become our 12th president. What happened with Zachary Taylor was that as he was tending his own business, he was obviously involved in politics because his party, which was the Whig Party at the time, wanted him to be their candidate for president. So they sent a letter through the post and waited. And they never heard back from Zachary Taylor. So they sent out another letter, a second one. Nothing back. They're starting to wonder, I think he was a general at the time. He's not interested in our offer for him to become our candidate for president. Well, by the third, they went ahead and sent a third letter. And by the time the third letter was sent, that one he did receive. You see, the way the post office was set up in those years, this is back in 1848, the way the post office was set up in those days was that the burden of responsibility was on the receiver. So when you received a letter, you had to go to the post office, pay for it, and pick it up. So there was no guarantee that your receiver would get the mail. You can make an argument, we still have the same problem today. So the post office decided during that time that maybe it should change its way of doing business. Maybe we should have the sender buy prepaid stamps and send to the recipient, giving more of the guarantee that the receiver would receive the mail sent to them. Now, obviously, that's the way we do it these days. So because of this story of Zachary Taylor almost not becoming the president, that was one of the things that led the United States Postal Service to change its tradition, to change its way of doing its work. Much like what we come to expect from our traditions. Now, I'm going to draw a line here, or draw a connection here for you, because I believe that it's the same sort of thing in the church. When we have people come into our midst, when we invite people into our church, when people come seeking Jesus through the ministry of the church, do we, like the old U.S. postal system, put the burden of responsibility on them? Do they have to pay the price? Do they have to learn our customs, lock, stock, and barrel? Do the kind of the questionable things that we do? Yeah, they're questionable. I mean, not all of us in this room know why we do everything we do. Some of it's strange to the outsider. So where does God's grace find itself in our traditions? Only for those who have learned them? How might we find a way for our traditions to even extend God's grace to those who are seeking? So that is the eternal question of the church, I think. So sometimes traditions can get in the way. Sometimes our liturgy can get in the way. Sometimes we've done it so many times, we don't know what we're doing or saying anymore. There's a story about a bishop that our liturgics professor told back when I was in seminary about tradition and how things get formed. And this is, of course, a fictitious story. There was a bishop who would visit this church in the village in England. And every time he showed up, there was this neighborhood cat wandering around, and the cat would get in the church, even get up near the altar. It was annoying. It was a nuisance. He was coming to do his visitation, and this cat was in the way. So what he would do, he would go to the acolyte and have the acolyte go and tie the cat up outside so the cat couldn't get back in the church. Well, this happened each time the bishop visited. The bishop would come out, have the acolyte go out, and tie the cat to the post outside. Well, one day, the cat died, and the bishop showed up. So what do we do about this conundrum now that we have established this tradition of tying the cat up outside, but there's no cat? So what the church did was they had the acolyte go out and find a cat and come out and tie it to the outside of the post of the church. in the name of tradition. Jesus' heart is much more interested in our access to God in the most pure way. He challenged the authorities of his day because he questioned the mission and ministry of their work. What's the point of your traditions? You want to follow the traditions of your elders, but for what reason? If we fail to remember that we are here to serve God and grow closer to Christ, and that the liturgies and traditions of our church are an incredibly wonderful venue for that, a wonderful conduit for to encounter the grace of God, then we do well. But once our traditions and the way we do things start taking over and we find them to be in and of themselves the end, then we have to remember once again why we're here. You see, traditions we think don't change over the years, but they really do. Little things happen. We change one little thing here, one little thing there because the building's different, or because the people are different, or because we're doing something different in a certain part of the year, or because the demographics change in our community. Whatever reason there really is always change in our traditions. It's just when they happen too fast, we get a little uncomfortable. So the old saying goes, if you want to move the piano from one side of the church to the other, what do? You move it a half of an inch every week until it's on the other side of the church and nobody ever knows the difference. So it is with our traditions, it seems. So like the post office of the mid-1800s, may we as the church always be open to where God is calling us, to what things we have to change in order for others to receive God's abundant grace, because that's why we are here. We are here to receive the grace of God, and we are here to open the door and usher in others to receive that same grace that they come to seek. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may we, with open hearts, do as our prayer says, that God's love would be engrafted into our hearts to increase in us true religion. Amen.